ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने. So, in Vidyaranya Swami's text, Panchadashi, we are seeing the second chapter, Panchabhuta Viveka Prakaranam or Mahabhuta Viveka Prakaranam, where the elements and the elementals are analyzed, ultimately to arrive at the reality. So, analysis of the elements is actually analysis of the elementals also. Thereby, we are going to arrive at the truth of the elements, substratum of the elements of the elementals, which is Brahma. And here, we were seeing the main statement taken for discussion here is, Sadeva Saumya Idamagra Asit Ekameva Advitiyam. I will be repeating it every class, so it becomes thorough for you. So, this Sat, and last class it was established very clearly, what was there was only Sat. So, this before this entire universe came into existence, what was there was Sat. What does it mean? Now what is here is also Sat. What was there was also Sat. Before there was Sat, now also there is Sat. But why do you use the term creation then? Something which was not there before is here now. And if at all what was not there, if it is here now, that will not be again later on. But one thing, what was there, what is here now, what is going to be there ever. That's called a Sat. So what before the creation, everything was there as one undifferentiated, unmanifest reality, no pure existence. So Sat, the reality, in what form does reality obtain? In what form does reality obtain? So we are understanding the reality in terms of its nature. You cannot understand reality. So, how reality is? How does the chair look? How does the wall look? How does the curtain look? How does this picture look? How is it? How is something? To understand something, we always ask the question, how? In what form? You know, how does it take? How is it? You have to describe that object to understand something, isn't it? Whereas here, the reality happens to be the subtlest, and then it is one, it is secondless, it is non-dual, it is beginningless, endless, changeless, independent, and the subtlest. Therefore, it is free from, it is of the nature of attributelessness, it is imperceptible, inconceivable, and it is indescribable also. Therefore, how are you going to understand? For us to be able to understand something, either it must be perceptible, or it must be conceivable, or it must be describable. It is not an object, therefore it is imperceptible. It is not an object of thought, therefore it is not conceivable. And it is of the nature of attributelessness, therefore it is indescribable also. How are we going to understand? And here we use the term the reality, the truth. And why do we use the term reality? Isn't it? There is something. How are we going to, you have to use some word. What are we going to use? Why do we use the word very reality? Because we use the term reality because the reality is that, because, no, without which elements, the elemental model, this universe cannot exist at all. That is reality, you say. So in what form does reality obtain? Reality, so you are understanding the reality in terms of its swarupam, nature. And what is nature here? Nature of existence. Therefore, we use the term what now? Existence. Therefore, Sat. Sat alone was there before means now all Sat is there. But now how Sat? How is Sat? The reality obtaining in the form of existence. Existence with form, name and function. Nama, Rupa, Karma. Form, name and function with reality. With form, name and function. So existence with plus form, name and function is equal to the universe. And what is reality? Implied by the word Brahman. Reality minus form, name and function is equal to what? Pure existence. This we cannot physically, we cannot separate anything, isn't it? So reality obtaining in the form of existence is equal to existence. Therefore, we say reality is equal to existence. And therefore, existence plus form, name and function is equal to universe. And existence minus form, name and function is what? Pure existence. Is it clear? So before Sat alone was there means, when it is without minus form, name and function, it is one. Secondless, non-dual. And now also what now? The same one secondless, non-dual reality alone is there. With seeming plurality, with the differences. Therefore, here it is established. Asat alone was there before, nothing else was there. Therefore, now also is there now. Now all same Sat is there. Before Sattva existence, the reality was there. The pure existence was there. Now what the reality is there, no existence of the universe. But what is new now? Form, name and function alone added here. And form, name and function, if you analyze, they are all mithya. The form, name and function, nama, rupa, karma, they do not have independent existence. Therefore, they are as good as non-existent. They are mithya. Therefore, what was satyam, what is now also within the form of namaripa karma is the same sat. Isn't it? Therefore, what is established here. Therefore, then nothing else was there. Sat alone was, sat alone is. Brahman alone was, Brahman alone is. And now the creation is the form, name and function which are undifferentiated and manifest, when they become manifest, you call it a creation. There's no real creation of anything here. Sikhana, Brahman, absolute reality, the ultimate truth, implied by the term Brahman, no, obtaining the existence of his universe, was there alone before, as one secondless non-dual reality. And now also same one secondless non-dual reality is there. But what is the difference is before the form, name and function were unmanifest, they were undifferentiated. Now the form, name and functions are manifest and differentiated. This is the only difference. But because the form, name and functions, innumerable, countless forms, names and functions, the purposes they serve are innumerable and countless, there's a plurality and multiplicity and diversity. Therefore, can you say one has become many? No. Isn't it? One seems to be many. Therefore, they were all unmanifest before. Now they are manifest. When they're unmanifest, they're undifferentiated. When they're manifest, they are differentiated. But even though they seem to be many, because they do not have independent existence, they are non-countable, they do not have countability, they're as good as non-existent. That is why we use a very, very different word, mithya. They are not unreal, they're not non-existent, but they're not absolutely real also. They are as though real, the appearance of the only reality, which is mithya. Isn't it? So this is what is established. Then they talked about, again we saw last class, they talked about these threefold differences. Swagata bheda, sajatiya bheda, vijatiya bheda. Remember all the Sanskrit words? Better you learn Sanskrit word itself. I've been talking for the past 4 class, I've been repeating these verses. Isn't it? You might get it thorough. Just by repeatedly listening, you'll get them. So the reality is free from swagata bheda. Reality is free from, why is swagata bheda is not there? It is one indivisible, partless whole. Therefore, swagata bheda is not there. And there's no parallel reality. Therefore, sajatiya bheda is not there. There is nothing other than the reality. Therefore, vijatiya bheda is also not there. It is free from all these threefold differences. Again, why do we talk about differences? By establishing the fact of the reality being free from these threefold differences, our knowledge, no doubt at all. What doubt? No. Because it's very difficult for us to understand all that is, there's only reality. And why it is so frightening? Because in understanding the reality, you have to lose your individuality. And losing one's individuality is most frightening thing. My God, if you come to, when you say wave, there's no wave, there's only water. Example is very beautiful. Very nice, isn't it? Oh, there's no wave. Only wave, only seeming existence. There's only water. Very nice example. Simple example. You understand the fact also. There's a seeming wave. There's no real wave. Fantastic. Why? It's only mithya. Because it has no independent existence. Water alone is the form of wave. Fine. In fact, when you have to talk about the oneness of the reality, you know what is the biggest problem? There's no way of arriving at the reality. You know, you have to resolve your identity. That is the most frightening thing. Isn't it? Example is very nice. If I say the example, you will understand very clearly. When you have to say all that is there is only Brahma, there's no second thing other than Brahma, means you have to lose your identity. You have to lose your individuality. And it's very frightening. There's no such thing called I means my God. I'm not there. No, not that you are not there. You are Brahma. Which means there's only Brahma. I nothing but manifestation of the knowledge. Manifestation of the reality. I is nothing but highest form of manifestations of the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. Understand? That means, what is wave? Wave is nothing but appearance of the water. What is I? Similarly, I is also manifestation of the knowledge. Or manifestation of reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. Or awareness or consciousness. You ask, what form does reality obtain? No, well, knowledge, awareness. How do you know? Because that, because of which the I being there is known, I being not there is known. Is it clear? It's a very important lesson. Therefore, that is very frightening. See, without resolving the individuality, without resolving the I-sense, see how clearly you're understanding there is no such a thing called wave other than water. Similarly, you can arrive at the truth of the whole Jagat, is it, as a truth of one's own self, then you have to say there is no such a thing called I other than the reality obtaining in the form of pure awareness or consciousness or knowledge. Understand? You understand the very, even the nature, you understand the reality in terms of its nature of knowledge. That is something very important lesson. Very frightening. So there's only, it's been established now. Now, before the last class we saw, we can say there's no sajatiya bheda, vijatiya, swagata bheda, but still we can talk about the vijatiya bheda. That's why last class they simply, speaking, we don't need this discussion. Vidyanya Swami presented this discussion as part of the teaching of sthana nikhanana nyaya, which means we should not have doubt at all about there's no second thing, second other than reality. That must become confirmed, reinforced. Therefore, he talked about, he used the language of the tarka shastram, logic, and the pratiyogi, isn't it? Therefore, people may say, why can't they talk about non-existence? Because the reality obtaining of existence, has its what? Vijatiya bheda. There's something, it has something other than, vijatiya bheda, something other than, the parallel reality is not there. Sajatiya bheda is not there. But something other than the reality is there. So vijatiya bheda you can talk about. He doesn't even talk about the matter or anything. He just says, pratiyogi. Can be the power is pratyogi here. Pratyogi Veda means there is reality, there's something, isn't it? Something other than the reality, which is different from reality. That which is different from the reality is what? It's pratyogi of reality. Like I gave the example, I'm quickly going to the new lesson today. Let me tell you once, I just started last class. If I say table is different from chair, what does it mean? The table is different from chair means that we said to be from. The table is different from the chair means. So the object from which the table is different. That is called pratyogi bheda. That has pratyogi bheda. Okay. Pratyogi bheda means we can talk about as vijatiya bheda. Okay. So non-thing. So, table is different from anything and everything other than the table, which is called non-table. One table, same table, is different from another table. Sajatiya bheda is not there. A table is different from non-table.
Exactly.
Anything other than the table is called what? No, pratyogi bhedaha. Table from another table is what? Has sajatiya bheda. The table which is different from anything other than the table, or is non-table, which is not the table. That is called pratyogi. What is pratyogi? Table is different from the non-table. The non-table is what pratyogi for this table. Pratyogi bheda. Is it clear? So in the same thing, he brings an example here. He says, so sat is what now? Existence. Reality obtaining in the form of existence. And the reality, which is existence. No? So anything other, what is non, isn't it, existence? Anything other than existence is what? Okay, there's no second existence, only one existence. But still, non-existence I can talk about, like non-chair. For a chair, non-chair is a pratyogi. For a table, non-table is a pratyogi. For a cow, non-cow is a pratyogi. For a human being, non-human being is a pratyogi. Anything other than it itself is a pratyogi. So for existence, what is pratyogi? Non-existence is a pratyogi. Therefore, he says non-existence is a pratyogi. Therefore, vijatiya bheda is there. He brought the exam thing. I think it's very interesting thing. And now we understand, finally it was established, there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. What is there is only existence. Therefore, there is no, it has no pratyogi. Pratyogi bheda is not there. I'm sorry, for such certain things I would be better. I only prefer Sanskrit words, okay? Pratyogi bheda is not there. Therefore, there's no vijatiya bheda. Therefore, it is free from all three bhedas. If you understand the meaning of the word existence, then you can understand how there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. What is there is only existence. Why? Existence is the reality. How do you say that? Reality alone, reality obtained in the form of existence, of everything. Now, water with reference to ocean, the reality is water, and the water obtained, in what form does water obtain? In the form of existence of the form and name ocean, without which form and name ocean will resolve, disappear, will become non-existent. Minus water, form and name ocean will become non-existent. Therefore, what reality the water is obtaining in the form of existence of the ocean. Therefore, existence of the ocean and the water are not two different things. Is it clear? Therefore, when it, the same way, if you extend the same logic here, the reality of the whole cosmos is in what form? Is obtaining now existence of the universe. Existence and reality are one and the same. They are not two different things. Therefore, what is there is what now? Only reality. So reality is what? Existence. And where is non-existence then? Got the point? Hope you understood it.
Yeah, understood.
Therefore, there is no non-existence at all. This was established in the last class. This last class lesson. Now we are going to go to the new lesson. Amazing. Really, it's very subtle. Really nice. Now, and before continuing, we were there in the
26th we finished, Swami. 27th is supposed to start.
Yeah. No, 26th we saw last class.
27th is supposed to start. This is
no. I had already started. 25th I finished.
Yeah.
So, in the 25th verse, finally, he establishes using the logician's the technical term, pratyogi. So, pratyogitvam, sat, the existence, does not have pratyogi bheda. Therefore, there is no vijatiya bheda. Therefore, what is, it is free from all threefold differences. Therefore, what is, there is only secondless non-dual reality, sat. Okay. That is established in the 25th verse. Now, the 26th onwards, we have to continue. And here, there is one diversion happens. Diversion comes. Let us see 26th verse now. Ekameva dvitiyam sat. Ekameva dvitiyam sat. Siddhamatra tu kechana. Siddhamatra tu kechana. Vihvala asade vedam. Vihvala asade vedam. புராசீதித்யவர்ணயன் விஹ்வலா அசதே வேதம் விஹ்வலா அசதே வேதம் புராசீதித்யவர்ணயன். Here, instead of continuing with the same teaching, in the continuous flow of teaching, one diversion comes here. What's diversion here? In this verse, Vidyarana Swami brings to light one of the schools of Buddhism. There are four branches of Bauddha Matam. Okay? The four branches of the four schools of thought of Buddhists. Bauddhas also four schools, okay? Four different views are they have. Four different views are there. And there, Madhyamika Bauddhism, you know, it's a very the famous, the most popular school of Buddhism is the Madhyamika Buddhism, Bauddha Matam. Madhyamika Bauddha Matam. Madhyamika Bauddha Matam means they're also called nihilists, nihilistic philosophers, philosophy or nihilism. They're also known as Sushunyavadinaha. Shunyavadaha. See, Shunyavadaha, Sanskrit expression. Nihilism is an English expression, isn't it? So, they are Madhyamika Bauddhaha. And these are the people of all the other school, of all the four branches. These are the people who are really, they come very close. Okay, close, not near. They're trying to come closer, sir. So these are the people who have to be refuted. And what do they say? According to them, there is no such, before this universe was created, nothing was there. Nothing was there. There was only vacuum, there was only emptiness was there. Nothingness was there. Nothing was there. Which means when you start, okay, understand the whole jagat, take the whole jagat, you negate everything. Oh, everything is negated. Neti, neti, okay? You negate everything as objects, everything as object, negate everything. Then finally they say, when you negate everything, finally you understand nothing is there. When everything is negated, nothing is there. There's only emptiness. There's only blankness. Therefore, before the universe was created, there was nothingness. There was only emptiness. Nothing was there before. To say nothing was there, there's only nothing. Because nothing was there before the universe came into existence. Which means the universe has come into existence newly. It was not there before. Once you say nothing was there before the creation, which means the universe has come into existence suddenly, newly. Which means the universe did not exist before. Therefore, universe is what new creation. Also problems comes. So after negation, you will stumble upon nothingness. This is their view. They hold on to that view. So here he's introducing those people here. Look at this 26th verse now. Ekameva advitiyam sat siddham atra. Until now, we have been analyzing thoroughly. We understood very clearly. This universe is nothing but form, name and function, which were unmanifest before, they were undifferentiated before, now they have they become manifest the differentiator, but this form, name and function does not, they do not exist independently outside of reality. Therefore, they're only mithya. Reality alone is here also now with this form, name and function. Before, the reality alone was there without the form, name and function. Okay, that has been established. Therefore, the oneness of the reality has been established. Secondlessness of the reality has been established. And non-duality of the reality also has been established. Why? Because threefold differences are not there. The pratyogi also has been very clearly established. Therefore, he says, ekameva advitiyam sat siddham. Siddham is what now? It has been clearly understood. Siddha means it has become very, very clear. No doubt at all. Siddha. I mean, we have arrived at the fact. See, we don't create the fact, okay? The reality being one, secondless, non-dual is the fact. But until we understand that fact, it becomes true to our understanding. Because we need to have it, no? Reality doesn't become many. But to our understanding, it becomes very clear. So, Siddha means the fact of the reality being one, secondless, non-dual has become very clear. It means it has been thoroughly analyzed and established now. Isn't it? Siddham. Atra tu kechana. But there are some people. Atra, this, no, when we understood, with reference to this fact which has been clearly understood and established, that, no, reality is one secondless non-dual reality. Kechana vihvalaha. Kechana, there are some people. Who are the some people? Kechana means some people. There are some philosophers. And who are they? He doesn't mention. So it's understood. Somebody says, sunya means what? Kechana, there are some people. Vihvalaha. Vihvalaha means highly confused. Okay. They're not clear. Vihvalaha. Confused people. What do they say? Asadeva idam pura asit. Iti avarnayan. They say what now? No, no. When everything is negated, asadeva pura asit iti avarnayan. They described, how do they describe it? When everything is negated, nothingness alone was there. There was nothing was there. Only shunyam was there. Asadeva idam asiditi avarnayan. And who are these people? This madhyamika bauddhaha shunyavadinaha. Isn't it? They say nothing was there. Asad means nothing. Non-exist, nothing was there. Which means this universe did not exist before. The form, name and functions were not there. Universe was not there before. Which means nothing was there. So this universe has come into existence from out of nothing. Nothing was there. This is their argument. They said. The reason is, Shankaracharya is going to say that. Why he is going to say that? It is our name. Because in Taittiriya Upanishad, how do they say that? And they also can quote Upanishadic statements. In Taittiriya Upanishad also, Asadeva idamagra, Asadevagra idamagra asit. The one expression is there. And Brihadaranyakam also, it comes. Same expression. Asat was there before. They hold on to that statement also. They also quote, see, Upanishad also says that. Which means they misinterpret, isn't it? Therefore, even though Upanishad says that, it has to be clearly understood. So, holding on to the point, quoting the Upanishadic words in themselves, itself, in Chandogya this expression, in Taittiriya this expression, and also Brihadaranyakam. Three big Upanishads, Asad is mentioned. Therefore, they also say, when everything is negated, Asad alone was there. Which means what? Nothing was there. Asad was there means what? Nothing was there. Asadeva idam pura asit. which means this universe which is now was non-existent before. Then what was there now? Nothing was there. Iti avarnayanne. And why do they have such confusion? Why are they not clear? In the next verse, the beautiful meaning is given. Why they are confused? What is the reason for their confusion? That is said in the next verse. Look at this. Magnasyabdhoyathakshani vihvalani tathasyadhihi. Vihvalani tathasyadhihi. Magnasyabdhoyathakshani vihvalani tathasyadhihi. Nidathasyadhihi. Akhandaikarasam srutva. Akhandaikarasam srutva. Nifprachara bibhetyatah. Now we are all here and all our sense organs are functioning. See, one of the word for sense organ is called aksham. Akshi means I, aksha means any sense organ. Aksham means any sense organ. So now all the five sense organs, five akshani are functioning. So we are perceiving. Now we can see the light, we can see the objects reflecting the light, we can hear the sound, we can see the form, shapes, colors, we can smell different varieties of smells, we can hear different varieties of sounds, we can feel whether the cold or heat. So all through all five different senses, now we are experiencing five different objects very clearly. Isn't it? And then especially we are seeing very clearly through our eyes. But if with the same eyes, suppose if you are swimming and you are under the water, when you go deep dive in the water, then what happens? When you are inside the water, same eyes you have, but when you are inside the water, when you have dipped in the water, when you are drowning in the water, your eyes are open. Same eyes are there, the eyes are open also. But can you see clearly things? When you are inside the water, your eyes are the same, but you cannot perceive things clearly. Isn't it? In the same way, here he gives example. Abdhau magnasya. Abdhihi means ocean. Abdhihi means ocean. Abdhau magnasya. For the person, when he is standing on the seashore, he can see things very clearly. But this person happens to be drowning in the ocean. And magnasya, abdhau magnasya. For the person who is diving deep under the ocean, abdo magnasya, akshani vihvalani. His sense organs are what now? They are all disturbed. His eyes, vihvalani means they are covered, which means not only covered, they're confused because they cannot see things clearly. They are distorted. Isn't it? Akshani vihvalani, distorted. And they can't see things clearly. Tatha. In the same way, asya yatha magnasya abdau magnasya purushasya akshani vihvalani tatha asya dhihi. Just as the person who's drowning within the inside the ocean, his eyes are, you know, distorted. Vision is distorted. Vision of the eyes are distorted. Sense organs are distorted, disturbed. Therefore, he cannot have the perception is not clear. He is confused of the objects he is perceiving when he is drowning inside the in the water. In the same way, this Buddhist also, tatha asya dhihi, in the same way, this Madhyamika Bauddha, no? This person's intellect also, what no? When he is drowning, when he is taught, no? When he is shown the oneness of this, oneness of the reality, secondlessness of the reality, non-duality of the reality is not when you make him deep dive into the vision of the oneness of the truth, what happens? Akhandaika rasam shrutva. When he listens to the unfoldment of the scriptures, and then what now? He is as though drowning in the vision of the truth. Then what happens? Shrutva. Akhanda yekarasam sutva. Akhanda yekarasam sutva. Having heard the unfoldment of the nature of the reality, you got now one indivisible, partless, all pervasive reality. And having heard about the nature of the reality being one, akhanda yekarasam. The only essential reality, only rasa means the truth here. The only truth, ekarasam. How is the only truth? Akhandam, one indivisible, partless whole, which is all one, all pervasive like space, isn't it? When he hears about this, the only truth, all that is, there is only one truth. When he listens, he is like the person who is drowning under the ocean. And his intellect cannot handle that fact. Isn't it? So when the person who can see very clearly on the surface, standing on the seashore, when he happens to drown in the ocean, nimagnasya akshani vihvalani, he said, they become confused and he do not see the same clearly things. In the same way, when this person also, sutva, when he is unfolded, when he, having heard the unfoldment of the nature of the reality being, isn't it? Behind one being, the oneness and secondlessness and indivisible partlessness, partless wholeness, when he listens, he is also what now? He is not able to understand. Nishprachara bibheti ataha. He becomes frightened. Actually, why they say shunyam is just there? Because bibheti. This is what once I had to make it very clear. Bibheti. Very important lesson, okay? Bibheti means gets frightened, is afraid. Is scared. No? Bibheti. Why he is bibheti? Because when you arrive at the truth through the unfoldment, and you understand the truth, what happens? All the divisions are resolved. Akhandam. From the standpoint of the truth, you have to see the fact of divisionlessness being the nature of the reality. Indivisibility, oneness, secondlessness, all pervasiveness. Isn't it? So, non-duality. What happens is that when the vision of the non-duality one has to see the biggest fact of one's own, even the I being mithya. What makes you feel frightened? I is also mithya. Understanding of the I being mithya is very frightening. Now we talk very nicely, okay? It sounds nice. Really repeatedly. That's why to come to Vedanta, you must be strong emotionally. Very bold. Immature. Not that foolish boldness. One must be intelligently bold. Bright. Very sharp. Because when subtle, very, very subtle teaching, to understand subtle teaching, one must be strong, one must be bold, one must be intellectually very sharp to see the fact and accept the fact. So Buddhist, this Shunyavadi, an ordinary person, he is very intelligent, extremely brilliant fellow, but still, even for such a brilliant person, it's very frightening, bibheti. This is the point I want to tell you here. See, when Shrutva means when it's unfolded, isn't it? You are listening to the unfoldment of the subject matter of the teaching, Upanishad, or teaching, Vedantic teaching. When you listen, the teacher uses many methods. ದೃಕ್ತಿಶೇವೇಕ ಪ್ರಕ್ರಿಯಾ, ಪಂಚಕೋಶ ಪ್ರಕ್ರಿಯಾ, ಅವಸ್ಥಾತ್ರಯ ಪ್ರಕ್ರಿಯಾ, ಕಾರಣಕಾರ್ಯ ಪ್ರಕ್ರಿಯಾ, ಅಧ್ಯಾರೋಪವಾದ ಪ್ರಕ್ರಿಯಾ, ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರಕ್ರಿಯಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಯೂಸ್ಡ್. ಫೈನಲಿ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್, ನೌ ಯು ಅರೈವ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಟ್ರೂತ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಈವನ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್. ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ವೆನ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೇ ದಿ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿ The vision of the non-duality of the reality means you have to resolution has to happen with reference to two factors. The universe also has to be resolved. Okay, the experienced objective universe has to be resolved as mithya. The experiencer status also has to be resolved as mithya. Subject and object both should be resolved as mithya. Why? Because truth is distinct from both subject and object. Truth is neither the subject nor the object. But there cannot be subject or object without the truth. There cannot be wave or ocean without the water. But water is neither the wave nor the ocean. Similarly, the truth is neither the subject experiencer nor the experienced universe. Distinct, but the experienced universe also is the truth. Experience the subject is also the truth. The standpoint of the reality obtaining in the form of existence of the world, obtaining in the form of the pure knowledge, isn't it? Which is of the nature of knowledge and existence. Reality, which is of the nature of existence with reference to universe. The reality, which is of the nature of knowledge with reference to an individual, is what? Is one and the same, only truth. The standpoint of the reality, there is no subject, there is no object. Isn't it? Your subject is also mithya, object is also mithya, all the forms and functions are mithya, the knower status is also mithya. Therefore, the I is also what? The pronoun which you are using, the knowledge, I is also mithya. Any manifestation is mithya. Anything manifestation is mithya. The pure, the source of manifestation is satyam. The substratum of manifestation is satyam. But any manifestation is mithya. Because any manifestation, it is not unreal. It is mithya. Isn't it? It's mithya. So, you understand everything as mithya, you are very happy. But you have to say, the very I itself is mithya, which means You have to, mithya has to be resolved in satyam. If you analyze, what is this mithya I'm experiencing? What is this wave? It has been resolved in water. You had stumbled upon what now? Definitely you will resolve it in water only. So what am I? Resolved in reality. In reality, obtaining in what I'm obtaining in the form of knowledge. Oh, jagat is mithya, easy to say. There is only Brahma. What is there is only Brahma. Only reality. And this is secondless. This is non-dual. It is one indivisible, partless whole. Akhanda ekarasam. Very abstract. To understand the existence. Pure existence. What is pure existence? Reality minus form, name and function is equal to what? Pure existence. And this you have to cognitively delete form, name and function, understand pure existence. Is it clear now? When you say, because it's a very abstract, it is not easy to understand. So your existence is subtlest. It is difficult to understand pure existence. Why? Because pure existence is what? One secondless, one indivisible partless whole. At the same time, pure existence is not perceptible. That is the reason. Pure existence is subtlest. Why do you say? It is not perceptible. It is not conceivable. Because pure existence is what? Pure existence. Existence minus form, name and function is pure existence. So existence, even external object? Object of knowledge is existence plus form, name and function. What are the sense powers? Existence plus form, name and function. What are the thoughts? Existence plus form, name and function. The thoughts, the mind, the sense organs, the organs of actions, the physiological functions, the physical body, and external world of objects, everything had been reduced to what now? Existence plus form, name and function. But when you say pure existence, isn't it reality minus form, name and function is equal to pure existence? Means it is not perceptible, it is not conceivable, it is not objectifiable, isn't it? It is not differentiated. It is above all, it is not differentiated. It is not, therefore, pure existence can never be perceived or experienced. It is not accessible. Pure existence happens to be the subtlest reality. Isn't it? It is not accessible. It is not available for interaction. Therefore, what will they say? It is not there. I'm not saying, okay? Vidyayana Swami says why they say it is not there. Because it is not interactable, it is not experienceable, it is not available for transaction. Because pure existence is non-transactable, it is not available for perception, they say it is not there. But how can you arrive at pure existence? We always say pure existence means what? The reality minus form and name functions what? Pure existence. And that is available for recognition only as pure consciousness. Just as pure consciousness is not available for transaction, the manifest consciousness alone is what now? Available for experience. Yes. The pure consciousness is not available for experience. Therefore, the pure existence also is not available for transaction. Therefore, they say it is not there. So the pure existence is available for recognition, not as an object, but not even as a subject, but as the swarupam of the subject I. when the pure egg is available for recognition as Swarupam of the I means, then you can see pure existence is available for recognition as pure consciousness. Understand? They're not two. For which, what when you negate everything, finally, oh, this is no, all objects are knowledge. Negate everything. So, it's all mithya, no? You arrive at the knower, and you have to resolve what then? You can know way of arriving at the reality in its nature of consciousness without having resolved the I sense. I has to be resolved cognitively, not physically. I has to be resolved cognitively. That is the only way you can arrive at it. Then that is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge also. Any other manifestation is relatively not higher. Relatively, what is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge is the knowledge of existence of the self obtaining in him of I. Is it the experiencer, the subject, the self-evident I? And there, and once you understand what is I is, you arrive at the reality. And what form? I use them reality. Reality obtaining in what form? Reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Even the word jnanam is not right for reality. You know that? You understand reality in terms of its nature of knowing. When you arrive at it, you understand what form does reality obtain? When the knowledge is I am is not there, what is there is something because of the presence of which I am being not there is known. Therefore, it is of the nature of knowledge. My God. Because it's known. Therefore, understand. So, I arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing knowledge. And that knowledge is what? Pure knowledge, which is source of all manifestations of knowledge. And that knowledge is what? Pure existence. And that knowledge, when you experience any form and name and function, every form, name and function experienced is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Understand? Obtaining in the form of existence of the form, name and function. I think you see me. I really so clearly I'm seeing. I wish I can make you see what exactly I'm seeing. Which means, I stopped here. Now, yes, I'm just analyzing this now. Instead of going ahead with this verse. See, verse is somewhere. I have to explain something else differently completely. I'm holding on. I'm taking this one word, vibhetim, explaining to you now. Why fear comes? When you really understand repeatedly, you know, really speaking, there's no I outside of reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. There's no such a thing called I outside of the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. And that reality obtaining in the pure knowledge is what? Existence of the universe. I give an example. Suppose, imagine, it's only imagination. Don't take it. Stretch the example. Imagine the wave understands the water. When the wave understands water as the truth of the ocean, how should the wave understand? Oh, water, same wave, understands the water with reference to ocean as the existence of the ocean. Is it clear? But then when the wave arrives at the water as its own swarupam, understands the reality as H2O. From the standpoint of wave, which has to know the truth of the whole, the same wave, when it arrives at the water, okay, it sees it's the water as its own truth, it is H2O. And the same wave looks at the H2O as the existence of the ocean. Is it clear now? The same way, the individual I, the arrive at the reality as the truth of I, this knowledge. The same reality which arrive at the truth of the I, with reference to the universe, is what? Existence. Are they two? No. Chit Chaitanya means Sattadi Satyam. And Satyam, Chat is nothing but Chit. And this is one and the same reality. It is Akhanda Ekarasam. Rasam is what? Essence. Essence is Rasam. And this is what now? Ekam. The reality is one. It is Akhandam. It is one indivisible, partless whole. And wherein is called what now? The non-duality of the reality. When you understand this non-duality of the reality, what happens? You have cognitively resolved your I sense, which means losing one's individuality is very, very frightening. One must be highly mature. Therefore, even though very brilliant people question and all that, just as the person who is very bold and fine and nice, who has very clear distortion-free vision, who can see everything very clearly all over, the same person, abdau magnaha, when he becomes drowned, when he is drowning under the ocean, his vision, my God, same eyes are there, but he's not able to handle. He cannot see things clearly. In the same way, when this person shutva, the shastram is unfolded, no? It's easy for him to say everything is mithya. But oh, negating. But finally, you negate the whole world, you have to resolve the I also. You have to negate the very I. Okay, negating the world is easy. Negating I is difficult, very frightening. Hope you understand what I'm saying. If a bibheti, there's no guts to say. To say Sat alone was there, Sat alone is there, you have to what? Lose your own individuality. You have to lose yourself. See, I'm teaching something very, very subtle. Hope you're all with me.
Yes.
Got the point what I'm saying? Therefore, Vibheti points out. Therefore, it's easy to say what now? Nothing is there. When everything is negated, nothing is there. Stop there. So what? Why nothing is there? Everything is negated. What is there now? Everything has been negated. Nothing is there. And the Shankar Bhagavatpada will come and say what? Who is that who says nothing is there? You want to hide, okay? You want to save the I, hold on to I. He doesn't want to lose the individuality, you know? Who is that who is saying nothing is there? To say nothing is there? Who is it who is saying nothing is there? I. You have to resolve that I also. You see the akhandatvam. Akhandatvam means what? Indivisibility. Partlessness, the whole. When it dawns like this, it may look like something different, but I'm just to express what I'm saying. It's completely pure. Actually, I can talk like this, no? You all have to see the akhandatvam. He's also, I try to communicate. That's why I want all those things. In fact, don't need to do all those things also. Really speaking, I don't need to do all those things. It becomes more, isn't it? I try to say something. It becomes, the communication is where Shankara really captures this Shunyavadi. He's very clever. He says, no, everything is, when you negate everything, everything is negated, everything is negated. Neti, 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 neti. Everything is negated. He comes to I, he stops there. Doesn't go to I. Therefore, what? Nothing is there. Why nothing is there? Because when you fall asleep, there's no jagat. In deep sleep state, there's no jagat. There's no I sense. There's no I sense. There's no jagat. You have non-dual experience. You have non-dual experience. There's neither the world nor I sense. There's neither knowledge of the world, knowledge of the I. Isn't it? What is there in sleep? Nothing. He stops there. See, takes deep sleep experience and understand, okay? Please analyze the deep sleep state experience and understand. In deep sleep state, there's no knowledge of the existence of the world. There's no knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am. Therefore, there's no knower known, duality is not there. Division is not there. Isn't it? In sleep, what do you have? You yourself do not exist for you. In sleep, you do not know you are in sleep. You do not know the world is. Then there's no divisions. Do you experience divisions and differences in sleep? Please understand. What is Akhandekarasma? I'll tell you. In deep sleep state, do you experience divisions? Do you experience differences? Do you experience anything at all? You experience the experiencelessness of nothing, isn't it? Nothing. So when everything is negated, I is negated, world is negated, nothing is there. Nothing is there. That is where he stops. Understand now? Nothing is there in sleep. And here Shankar Bhagavatpada has to say what? Oh, nothing is there. That nothingness is object of experience. And who is that because of whose presence nothingness is experienced? Isn't it? You cannot talk about nothingness. Who is that who is saying nothing is there? So that nothingness is a state of experience. There is something else, somebody else, isn't it? Because of whose presence the nothingness is, who is witnessing nothingness? Who is distinct from nothing? So to say nothing is there, somebody must be there. And that is what? You must be there. You are there. And that you have to resolve that I, that you yourself. Then you have to say what? No, the truth of you. That is Sat. Not Asat. That which is there, is it? Witnessing the experiencelessness is the truth of I, which is the Sat, which is pure, which is Obtaining in what form? Form of knowledge. That pure knowledge is pure existence. And what is that? Akhanda Eka Rasam. One indivisible, partless whole. Actually, I have just added this Sankara's thing, okay? You see, few more we have to see. So now, 26th onwards, until the 35th verse, he is going to read this. They say, Madhyamika Bauddha Mata, isn't it? Refutation. It's refuted. Buddhist view is going to be refuted logically, clearly. I've already introduced myself, but he's going to help us do that. It's all for what? It's all for reinforcement, ascertaining our clear vision. It's called mananam. These are the verses now, mananam portion, not for shravana portion. Why? Because if at all we have any doubt, okay? Yeah, Buddhist may be correct. Nothing is there, isn't it? We will all think because we don't know anything. If we are not very clear, somebody comes and tells you, yeah, maybe he's right. We think that way, isn't it? No. With the due respect everybody, because in your understanding, everybody is Bhagavan, okay? Respect everybody. At the same time, be bold, be very clear. No. Isn't it? You should know very clearly, no, without any doubt. That's why it's called Sthana Nikkanana Nyaya, means what? For us to ascertain, you know, clarifying our doubts. There's only one verse he has taken up. So, Abdo Magnasya. Now, I can remind you this time. When I is resolved, you have to see the truth of the I being there as the witnessing the I being not there. Truth of the I being there as the witnessing the I being not there, isn't it? That how and what do you call it now? Can you describe it? Can you talk about it? Will only understand. That's why it is very abstract. One must have sharp and the subtle intellect to understand much subtlest reality. There is the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge, knowing the knower-I being not there, knowing the known world being not there. And which is the truth of the I? And truth of the this also. So same the reality, understand as existence with reference to the universe, understand the reality as knowledge with reference to the knower I. Is it clear?
Yes,
something is called this how the same thing you are understanding, but enhancing clarity. See, I can tell you an instant when Vivekananda went and asked Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, have you seen God? He was a Mahatma, so what can he say? Yeah, what have you seen God? I always see God. As I see you now, I see God. He say, gave an example. But there's not. I tell you, you can understand such Mahatmas explain only in light of Shastra teaching. They be too deep. Unless you have the depth of vision, you can't understand what they talk, when they say. Otherwise, that's why we have to respect Shastra, respect the tradition. You can understand otherwise. You can do Namaskaram. Mahatmas, you can do Namaskaram. They're all for inspiration. For understanding, you have to come here to Shastra only. Then the light of, because you must have the depth of vision to understand their depth of vision. We don't belittle, understand people who mistake. It's not a mistake. You need sampradaya, you need the teaching.
Ramana Maharshi also.
But anybody, all these great people, we can, they there for inspiration, go to them. For teaching, go to traditional acharya to study. Because we're too small to understand that those people, great people. So when he said, I see God always as I see you now. Even now I see God as I see you. Can you show me God? If you're seeing God as you see me, can you show me? And he said, okay. So see, it's not practical, which means we need only Shastram. And then, he touched him, it seems. And he has an instantaneous ecstasy he could not handle. Vivekananda shouted, it seems. Whatever he had that. And he was shouting, it seems. And then he wanted to be relieved. Just come to that thing. What is such? Now somebody went and asked him, Chinmayananda. Once it seems, I remember very well, Chinmayananda telling, as a young girl, can you help me have that instantaneous ecstasy like Ramakrishna Paramahamsa? And he asked, if you are not Vivekananda, to give such things. Anyway, now what I want to say here, because in Lu, I don't know how to, and then we never talk about experience, because we never value. We don't undermine experiences. But we don't overvalue experience. Any experience is what mithya. And any mithya experience is satyam only. Every experience is the truth. Experience is the truth. The truth is not the experience. And truth is not, that's why truth cannot be experienced. Because it is not available for experience, and you have to resolve the very eye also there to see the akhandatvam, isn't it? Akhandatvam, to do the partlessness and the oneness. It is too subtle, isn't it? Therefore, Bibheti is very frightening for them. Physically, you don't need to do anything. That is why understand very clearly, then dwell upon repeatedly what has been understood clearly only for ascertainment, not for understanding. You repeatedly dwelling upon what have already clearly understood. That's called Nidhyasana. That's only for ascertainment, only for assimilation. Isn't it? Then you become steadfast in the vision of the truth. And you can see, as you are seeing the opaque thing, you are also seeing the light. And now, even if you are seeing the opaque thing, you can distinguish what? If experience of every opaque thing, what is invariably present in every opaque thing is, in experience of every opaque thing, in every experience of any opaque thing, what is invariably present is, the experience of the light. Isn't it? The same way, in experiencing the plurality of the world, multiplicity of the world also, you see the existence with Nama Rupa, you understand that existence intellectually, cognitively, you understand that existence experience the Nama Rupa. Without the Nama Rupa, is what pure existence is non-experienceable. What now? The reality obtaining as pure knowledge. Okay, the reality experienced as existence with the Nama Rupa. I'm repeating sentence, okay? The reality experienced as existence of the universe, existence of forms, names and functions, existence with form, name and function, without the form, name and function, as pure existence is what now? Pure knowledge, reality, pure knowledge as the truth of I. not two. Knowledge and existence are one. You give different name. No, words, used words. And that is one, ekam. Advitiyam, secondless. Swagata bhedarahitam. Isn't it? Advitiyam, advaitam, non-dual. And this reality, obtaining in the form of knowledge, which is of the nature of existence, is what was there before, that alone was there before, without form, name and function. And all these forms, names and functions were unmanifest, undifferentiated. And the same reality, the pure knowledge, obtaining in the form of knowledge, obtaining as existence of the universe, is now also with what? Manifest and differentiated form, names and functions. And therefore the form and function of mithya. Before the pot was made, clay was. Now after the pot has been made, clay alone continues to be there with form and name and function. And this is mithya. So you can say clay was clay. So sadeva saumya idam agra asit, hadeva saumya idam asti jagadrupena. The same sati is here now in the form of the universe. Therefore, Madhyamika Bauddhas, why he is not able to say? Because of its subtleness. Because if the sharpest intellect, people of sharpest intellect, subtlest intellect, they can appreciate the subtler, much subtler reality. Isn't it? It's too subtle to understand. And second thing, it is more frightening because the very individuality has to be resolved. I has to be resolved. Losing oneself is very frightening because like death. No? That's real death. Even this temporary death we are so scared of. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? I am not there, it's only truth. Means it's very frightening. Therefore, which means one must be highly mature to understand, to grasp the fact, understand the fact, and accept the fact. Therefore, they are frightened of the oneness. Where manifestations are resolved, divisions are resolved. So this, continue the next verse, okay? Magnasya abdho magnasya purushasya yatha akshani vihvallani tatha asya madhyamika bauddhasya, you have to take dihi akhanda ekarasam shrutva nipprachara bibheti ataha bibheti. He is frightened. Om Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.